those neurons and
what. Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Barney.
All right, thank you, Shelley. Bless your heart. Great. All right. Thank you guys again for allowing me to have the privilege of being able to be together with y'all. And Bob, introduce our guests, please.
Yes. We met Brian. And yesterday we had our Agape Now outreach, and we prayed for a lot of folks, and that's some wonderful people. And Brian was one. So thank you for joining us.
Amen. Well, you may have noticed that we have a young lady here.
Oh, my gosh. Yes,
and let us know, tell us who this is. Well,
this is my sister Linda from Houston, Texas.
Thank you. Awesome. Perfect. Great. Bless you guys, Dan, Rebecca. Good to see you all. Bless your hearts. God's perfect timing. You know, we're moving into a really unique time of the season, right? I guess it probably originated as maybe a Roman Catholic, that word Christ Mass. Does that make sense for you Roman Catholics? There's also another interesting Roman Catholic, I would call it a doctrine. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called the Immaculate Conception. There's some really interesting things. But first of all, I wanted to say the title of my teaching is Joy in God's Perfect Timing, and Thank You, Mary, for Making the Right Choice. You know, Mary was really quite a woman. Actually, she was a teenager, right?
Yeah.
She was a young woman. So we think of people in the childbearing years, you know, late 20s, 30s, even 40s. I don't know what the Guinness Book of World Records, probably 60s. That's, I don't know. Anyway, that's something else. But she was quite a woman, you know? What she did and what she experienced. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the angels probably spoke to Mary in December. Think about it. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. 9 months from December is September. And if you look at the accuracy of God's Word, which we aren't going to take the time to get into here right now, you will begin to realize and understand and see that Jesus was born in September. And this isn't something I'm coming up with. I mean, this is becoming more well known when you will actually begin to see it more frequently. However, current tradition will teach that Jesus was born on Christmas Day. More likely, Jesus was conceived somewhere around Christmas, if not before. This is December 10th. If he was born on September 11th, then I don't know. You can draw your own conclusions, but I think it's at least worth considering. And I'm not degrading, you know, what we, you know, think about, or nor do I want to be disrespectful or sarcastic or anything else. But I think there is a point where we do have to really assess and evaluate the integrity and the accuracy of God's Word. And we just can't have an attitude like, well, what difference does it make? Well, I mean, you've heard this statement, you know, if I empty your bank account and say, well, what difference does it make? You might have a different opinion. But when it comes to God's Word, what difference does it make? Yeah, people, whatever. Anyway, I want to read you a quick definition of what the Immaculate Conception is. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or know anything about it. But the true meaning of the Immaculate Conception is commonly and mistakenly taken to mean the conception of Jesus Christ in Mary's womb. However, it does not refer to Mary's sexual condition when she gave birth to Jesus. It is a belief about her own condition at her conception. That is, she was immaculate by an act of God at the time she was conceived, so she would be sinless and therefore the fitting mother of the Son of God. The virginal conception refers to the belief that Mary became pregnant with Jesus by miracle instead of sexual intercourse. The Immaculate Conception deals with the conception of Mary herself, not that of her son. Interesting that the doctrine is that Mary was sinless, and therefore she could give birth to a sinless child. Wonder if that has anything to do with the scriptures, or does that just become a commonly held belief by a group of people who maybe even might pray to that person and refer to her as the mother of God? Wow, that must be an interesting title to have. Anyway, Mary was quite a woman, young woman. And we don't really know how old she was. She might have been 15, 16, maybe 14. Now, we can look at the record in Matthew. There's a lot of, you know, a couple of different records in Matthew and in Luke especially. But here's the reality of it. Matthew 1:18 talks about, now this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. I'm reading from the NIV. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to kind of read between the lines here a little bit, okay? And maybe we aren't reading this record. Maybe we should look in Luke where it talks about the angel that came and spoke to her and said, you're going to get pregnant and you're not going to know a man. You're not going to have any relations with a man. And the child that you have, he's going to be the Son of God. And now what do you think went through a teenager's mind in that point in time? First of all, she's Jewish. Right? She's probably involved with the synagogue, right? She's got parents. She's got all sorts of things going on probably in her world, and an angel appears to her. And actually, if you begin to really read, which we may take the time here to do, she was already married. She wasn't engaged to be married. She was already married. And the angel comes and tells her, you're going to have a baby. Now, I want us to watch a little clip about these kids who are talking about the birth of Jesus. I think you'll get the greatest... have a little fun with this, okay? So, Jeffrey, if you can find that, play that. That'd be great.
Hail. Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee.
So, Mary didn't know that she was having a baby. So Mary was sitting on stairs, and then Heavenly Father told Mary that she's going to have a baby. And so Joseph, he was going to Bethlehem with his wife Mary, and she was pregnant with Jesus.
They rode a camel. They rode a boat.
Maybe it was a horse.
They ran it on a donkey.
And when they got there, all the inns were full because tons of people were going to all these cities, and you know, there's lots of road traffic.
Road traffic.
There was no room in the inn though.
They said all our rooms are full. There's a stable you guys can sleep in.
And that's where she had Jesus. Babies are normally born in the hospital. And it's not born in a hospital, it was born in nature. It's the place where animals live. There were sheep, camels, there's zebras and horses and cows and hogs.
It probably wouldn't be very clean. There'd probably be lots and lots of bugs.
I don't think it would be very healthy. It was made out of sticks and a huge star was above it to tell people to follow it and to go under it. That's where Jesus would be born.
So the shepherds, they were out, you know, watching their sheep to make sure no wolves came and ate them. And an angel came down to them, and they were all scared, because imagine if you weren't filled on some, like, bright white light, and like a person floating down. I imagine it would be pretty surprising. An angel told them to not be afraid.
Fear not.
And told them that Jesus is going to be born, and so humanity can go see him.
The wise men at the other people came to visit him.
Wise men brand him priestess,
gold,
mirth, and freaking stripes. He's special, and so it was a special day on that day. He's special because he's a king. Very funny.
He made it so that we could repent and go to heaven again.
And that he sacrificed, since he sacrificed his life for us to come down on earth, I feel like that he really loves all of us. And like, it's just amazing that he did that.
Wow, that's pretty sweet. A lot of different perspectives, huh? What was in there? But the story is, Jesus is the solution, right? He's the solution for all of mankind. That's absolutely no question about that. Yeah, I want to look at Luke chapter 1. Oh, Mary, you did it right. Yeah. Yeah, bless your heart. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Elizabeth was who? Mary's what? Cousin? Cousin. Just a little side note. Says that Joseph, I believe, was of the tribe of Judah. And Elizabeth, more than likely, was of the tribe of Levi. So I'm not going to expound upon that right now, but it's kind of an interesting connection that she came out of a priestly line. Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, was a priest, right? Yeah, some really interesting things there. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words, as you can well imagine, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, "Mary, don't be afraid. You really have found favor with God. You will conceive, give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Next logical question. How exactly is this going to happen? "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Another translation says, "For with God, nothing is impossible." Good thing to remember. Verse 38, Mary's response. Thank you, Mary. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. You know, God chooses. When God chooses, he always makes the right choice. Why Mary? I don't have an answer for that. But for whatever the reasons are, God reached out and Mary was it. She was faced with some really daunting challenges in the moment that she was about to forsake all to truly trust God. She was really put in a place. It was so unexpected, so unsolicited. It must have been startling and frightening to a teenage girl and a married woman on top of that. Pregnant by God right now? What will Joseph think? What will my parents think? What will my synagogue think? The elders of the church? How would you respond had you been placed in that interesting situation? Yeah. I want to look at Matthew chapter 1. Let's go back there for a second. In verse 18. We read this just a little bit. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. And he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. You can imagine, culturally. My mom was 16 in 1952 when I was given up for adoption. Culturally, that wasn't a really good place to be, being pregnant and the son of a minister in 1952 in a small town in Iowa. We're not even talking about anything remotely similar here. We're talking about a very strong religious community here. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. There's a little book maybe some of you have seen over the years, maybe you've read a portion of it. Book by a gentleman named Bishop Pillai. There's a little chapter in here called Marriage, Married or Engaged? Which was it? It says there are a number of conceptions, misconceptions concerning the relationship of Mary and Joseph, which are based upon these scriptures along with those in Luke chapters 1 and 2. First, mostly Westerners think that Mary and Joseph were only engaged when she conceived by the Holy Ghost, but this is not the case. The word espoused means married. They were already man and wife. Verses 19, 20, and 24 confirm this. The key to understanding this is in the verse 18, before they came together. When a couple is married in the East, they do not immediately come together as man and wife in a sexual relationship which consummates the marriage. The time for the marital relationship is set for them by the priest. He chooses a day when a certain star will appear. It is believed that if conception occurs on that day under the sign of that star, the child will possess outstanding character and a successful future will be assured. Until the time appointed, the bride is attended by a woman and the man takes care of the bridegroom. A little different than in our culture, huh? Wow. Between the time Mary and Joseph were married and the day set for them to come together as man and wife, Mary was found to be with child. She immediately told Joseph, after all, if she was honorable enough to be chosen of God to give birth to the Son of God, it would seem more than reasonable to believe that she would not be dishonest with Joseph by withholding from him the fact that she was pregnant before they had sex. No doubt there was no small discussion about the matter. Mary then left their home and went to the hill country to the home of her cousin Elizabeth and stayed with her 3 months while Joseph debated what he would do. You're familiar with that with that particular record. You know, it's interesting that in Luke 1:39 it says that at that time Mary got ready, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. This makes it sound like she went next door. She just hurried out of the house, got her stuff, threw a little pack together, and la-di-da, there she went. Wasn't quite like that. You know, all the Gospels pretty much portray ancient traveling as being pretty demanding. That's pretty undemanding. You know, and it looks like here is that it's as easy to transport and teleport like it does on Star Trek, right? You're in one place and then you're in another place just like that. What about in between all this? How far did Elizabeth actually live from where Mary was? 5 miles? 10 miles? You know, it was actually a 90-mile walk to the village of Ein en Kerem, John the Baptist's traditional birthplace, and only 5 miles to Jerusalem from the southwest. Okay, this is a young girl who just found out she's pregnant, and she's going to go visit her cousin Elizabeth 90 miles away on foot. Did she travel alone? We don't know that. Now, something happens to people when they're generally newly pregnant. Any idea what that might be? Are you feeling really your best and you're just like, yeah, I can't wait just to... Really? No. Your body's going through all sorts of changes, isn't it? Hormonally, and there's this thing called what? Morning sickness that you're having. Now she's on the road. She's being... Wow. Interesting, huh? And she was going through what they call hill country. So it wasn't just, you know, maybe it was some ups and downs and things involved and what was going on. See, she stayed about 3 months there. She got pregnant and went right over there to see her cousin, right? Stayed 3 months. And then, guess what she had to do? Walk back. She had to go back, right? Yeah. Well, look at Luke 2:4. It says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Bethlehem, town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Bethlehem, the town of David. This was at a point in time, right? How did Mary and Joseph end up in Bethlehem? There was a certain thing going on there, right, that they wanted to go and be a part of. But again, they had to travel to Bethlehem from Nazareth, which wasn't like going from here to the living room and back. It was like somewhere between 80 and 100 miles away. And it probably took, they figure, if you average 2.5 miles an hour, and you can walk 20 miles a day, that would be 4 8-hour days. Most of us have never done that. I do know someone who's getting ready to walk the Pacific Coast Trail. It's about 2,500 miles. They plan on taking 6 months to walk it. I don't know exactly how much they would walk. But anyway, some people speculated it could have been 7 days or 10 days. Here's Mary. She's in her late teens. Probably comes out with a very strong work ethic. See? She was healthy. Thing is, I don't know if you thought about this, she was 9 months pregnant, right? Now she's going to walk 100 miles in her ninth month. Because remember when they arrived at Bethlehem, she was getting ready to give birth, right? What an interesting and unique person. The speculation, sometimes people say, well, she rode a donkey. Well, had that been true, it would have probably even taken longer, because donkeys generally are very stubborn, and a lot of times they walk slower than humans. Because a lot of times when you see the pictures, people are pulling the donkey, right? It's not like donkeys are racing down the road, you know, with a 9-month pregnant woman on their back, getting there as quickly as they can. Let's see. Yeah. It's really something. You think about some of these things. But you know what? God, He sees perfectly. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly the right person to go to with the opportunity of seeing it happen. I want to play this song about, it's called Wren Collection Experiment. But it's, again, another example of what actually happened when Jesus was born. You know what? To me, I think there was great joy. There was great celebration. It wasn't a solemn religious experience necessarily, was it? People were really enjoying the process. Yeah, was it in a manger, in a stable, all these things? You know what? So what? Play a song. I think the words are there too, so you can sing with it.
The baptism for my soul rises, soul rising. My heart is filled, my soul rises, soul rising. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. Instead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. The waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you.
Good to be reminded of. It's like that thing says up here, wherever it is, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's the thing that the enemy is really trying to rob out of our lives. From the moment your feet hit the ground in the morning, there are circumstances, challenges, issues, phone calls, emails, text messages, the way you feel, all these different things that really want you take away and take your eyes off the really great, wonderful, blessed, beautiful thing. Matter of fact, when Jesus was born, it said, glory to God, whatever it said, something very interesting like that. What does it say?
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. There was a great amount, I think, of celebration. You know, the shepherds, they were coming in. There was all this these dynamic things going on. And yet, you know, you look at our lives, the things that go on in our lives, and they are multifaceted. You know, somehow our minds become distracted from the simple truths. You know, Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. In 1 John, it talks about that your joy may be full. God is talking about Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, joy is a really important aspect. Matter of fact, it says it's one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Yeah, really interesting. Okay, this next video I want to show, because I'm incorporating the songs into the teaching, which is really kind of a cool thing. It's called Happy Dance. It's by the same guys that you'll see have done I Can Only Imagine. Yeah, but I think you'll see it like from a little different perspective this time, okay? All right, here we go.
It's forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
So kind of funny, huh? Same guys that do I Can Only Imagine. But you know, I think the cool thing is that we just learn to celebrate. We learn to be a little bit more free. We learn to begin to sort of break out and express ourselves a little bit. So, you know, It's really fascinating. I just think the greatness of the Word. The Word gives us freedom. Freedom to be ourselves, who we are, to really rejoice, and to be really happy. And however way that we express that, just kind of becomes an expression of the goodness of God in our lives. We have so much to be thankful for. We've looked at just a little tiny bit of how miraculous, how perfect God is in His timing to bring to pass the birth of Jesus Christ. We could spend the rest of the week. You can read all sorts of information about it. It's all out there. But see, I think really it's like, what does this mean to me in my life? How am I going to appropriate that so it makes my life more joyful? Am I the one who's now making the choice to choose, to decide to be more joyful? I think so. I think we have a decision to make in our lives. Am I going to be happy in spite of the circumstances? Am I going to be joyful in spite of the circumstances? Hey, look at Mary and Joseph, man. They walked all the way to Bethlehem, 9 months pregnant. You know, you don't see, not that it would be included, but you don't see a lot of anything about them complaining about it. Even when they were denied a room. You know what? No rooms at the Marriott? Oh my God, this will never do. You know? They were willing to just kind of roll with it, right? So it's an interesting challenge, I think, for us to sort of sometimes break out of where we have been, to go to a new place, and learning how to really express our joy and thanksgiving in a unique way. I'm going to close this teaching with another video by Pharrell Williams. Many of you know who this guy is, but he's got this really great song that I think just helps to make us feel better. It feels good. Because I think God wants us blessed. God wants us to be joyful and thrilled and excited and full of vitality about the life we're living, not about all the things that are not going right in life or in the world. See, so we have to saturate ourselves with the light. The light dispels the darkness, not dwelling on the darkness that brings joy up and out of our hearts, right? So you guys will get a kick out of this. Jeffrey, play that song by Pharrell Williams, please. You guys have seen this problem.
Keep it going.
people are attracted to people who are smiling, having fun in their life, enjoying themselves, and looking and being happy. So I say to you, make the choice. You choose to decide. You happy no matter what. Whatever the circumstances are, you can choose. You choose. This is awesome. Because it's just people expressing joy, happiness. If anything, Christian people have got everything to be completely free and fearless about. We've got everything. Oh, you mean eternal life? What? Communication with God? Look at the bright side. See the glass half full. See the bright thing, see? God sent the solution. He's given us the ability to really just enjoy our life. Give yourself permission to enjoy your life. See? Life is a precious commodity. It's going by quickly. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it what? More abundantly. More abundantly. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy what? Your joy and your happiness. And he will go to any lengths to see that happen. So, how much are you going to take? You decide. See, I decide. Well, we want joy to just be the determining factor in our lives, no matter what. See, it confuses the enemy. He's like, what? How can this be? Said that Jesus was able to endure the cross. How? For the joy that was set before him. Joy gave him power and strength to be able to endure life's... I'm here to tell you, they are challenging situations and circumstances at times. See? But they don't have to identify the course of our lives for the next 5 minutes, year, 10 years, 20 years, because of something that happened that was bad for you in your life when you were a child. I think that's unfortunate that those things happen, but it doesn't have to be identified now how I'm going to live the rest of my life. Forgive and move on. Thank God for the great things that we have in our lives now. And enjoy your life. Give yourself permission to enjoy the life that you've been given to live. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. And Father, thank you for our hearts. And we're the people are just so attracted to, because we just have so much joy and laughter, and we're having so much fun at what we're doing that it's like, what the heck? So I just thank you we can just cast aside any religious prisons and shackles of negatives and circumstances that just want to so enslave our minds and our lives, Father, get us trapped in there. And we just thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for breaking down those walls that imprison people's hearts and in their minds, Father, that we can just break through, because Christ already paid the perfect price on our behalf. And we make that declaration over our own lives right now that we are free, we are blessed, we are thankful, we are joyful, and we can live the days of our lives with great happiness. And we just want to praise you and give our lives to you in sacrificial offering so that you will continue to work with us, God, the way that you do. And we pray and your son's wonderful, wonderful name. And thank you, Mary, that you made the right choice. Even though you don't hear me right now. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, bless you guys. All right, stick around.